Well, if you got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, that's where you need to be. Can't have an Easter sermon without preaching the resurrection. Just all there is to it. This morning, I'd like to put before you what the Apostle Paul did. He did it in a way. He didn't believe it, but he had some arguments there of people that didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. And so he gives some questions here. What if there is no resurrection? What if there is no resurrection? We know that there is, but he gives arguments here that he might tell them assuredly there is a resurrection. And so the title, I guess, of the lesson this morning is Don't Forget the Resurrection, how important that is. And as Brother Lamar said, every doctrine is important. Sometimes we place more importance on one than the other, and it seems like the resurrection stands out more so. The resurrection proved that Christ was who he said he was. He came forth from the grave. Without the resurrection, we don't rise. Believers don't rise. And so it's needful that we understand and embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ and understand in its fullness. We sang a song this morning, a hymn this morning, Christ Arose. In 1874, he said, a Baptist minister named Robert Lowry penned one of the most stirring hymns to ever exalt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Low in the grave he lay is what it used to be, but we know it as Christ Arose. Notice how these verses contrast the impotence of death and suffering with the resurrection power of Christ. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death could not keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Death, man's most dreaded enemy, is powerless to reign over the Lord of life. And that truth has significance for you and me here and now in the time in which we live. You can see it in the most exciting and rousing part of Lowry's hymn, the chorus that punctuates each stanza. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. But he puts this question before us that we might understand the significance of it. So do you see in those lines what Jesus' resurrection means to you? If you are a Christian, you can rejoice in the fact that Christ rose from the dead as a victor, a champion who lives forever to reign with his saints. It's not just Christ that's reigning, but we're reigning and ruling with him as the saints of God. That refers to the promise based on our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That baptism is a spiritual baptism. It is our hope and the reason and ground of all we believe. If we don't believe in the resurrection, all that's insignificant. Christ is still in the grave. And this is the argument that Paul wants to put before us in this particular section of Scripture. So for argument's sake, what if there were no resurrection? What if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just a first century myth to be ignored or marginalized as a secondary issue? The implications of that approach are devastating to Christianity. If you'll look at verses 12 through 19, I'll reread those to refresh your memory. When he's talking about that, and he's given the question or putting forth the argument, what if there is no resurrection? What is the consequence to us, to believers and unbelievers alike? What is the consequence if there is no resurrection? And there's many. As we see. In verse 12, it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? So you see that's the argument or the question that he's pursuing. He said, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise, if we believe like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable or the most pathetic creatures. If there is no resurrection, everything, it seems, hinges on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, I said that it proved who Christ said he was. He said he was. He said he was the resurrection and the life. And so we find that we have to have a resurrection if he said that. And that's coming forth from the grave. He said, without question, if Jesus is still in the grave, if he is perpetually the sufferer and never the victor, then you and I are hopelessly lost. What does that mean for us? Then we're looking for another Savior. If Christ is not the one that came forth, then we must put our faith in someone else. And though that is not the case, I want to focus on the hypothetical what if that Paul assumes temporarily in 1 Corinthians 15. What if the resurrection were a myth? What if Jesus were still dead and in the grave? MacArthur says this about those particular scriptures. In these verses, Paul gives six disastrous consequences if there were no resurrection. The first, preaching Christ would be senseless in verse 14. In other words, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't need to be preaching if Christ is not raised from the dead. Faith in Christ would be useless. You'd be putting faith in someone that's dead that hasn't raised, and so that faith is not risen. It's not a lively faith, but a dead faith. All the witnesses and preachers of the resurrection would be liars, the exact opposite of what God calls us to be. No one would be redeemed from sin. Everyone would still be yet in their sin if Christ doesn't rise from the grave. All former believers would have perished, and Christians would be the most pitiful people on the face of the earth, putting their faith in someone that lied and said, I'm coming forth, I am the resurrection, but they didn't raise from the dead if the dead don't rise, if there is no resurrection. First of all, we'd still be in our sins under the tyranny of death, along with the most vile and unbelieving pagan. We'd be in the same boat with unbelievers. We'd have the same fear that they're going to have one day that they keep putting off because they haven't faced the fact that they're going to die one day. They're either going to heaven or go to hell, and they haven't settled that issue. We'd be in the same boat if there's no resurrection from the dead. Death would then have a hold upon us. When Christ says that I have risen, then it doesn't have a hold on you. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then sin won the victory over him and continues to be victorious over you also. If Jesus remained in the grave, then when you die, you would also have to stay dead. And even more so, since the wages of sin is death, were you to remain dead, death and eternal punishment would be your future. The purpose of trusting in Christ is for forgiveness of our sins, because it is from sin that we need to be saved. The Bible says Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised on the third day. That's what the first part of Corinthians says. Again, going back to that in the first verses there, verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. So these are believers that have received the gospel, have heard it, and they're walking, they're applying the gospel in their lives. By which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now God saves us, but also he puts a stipulation on it. If you can continue on, if you hold fast, he's talking about believers are preserved to persevere. That is, we continue believing, we continue serving the Lord, although we may stumble from time to time in sin. The tenor of our life is Godward. We find ourselves pursuing holiness and seeking after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to please him in everything that we do. Verse 3 says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Paul is not telling them anything that Christ hasn't revealed to him. And this is what he received, that Christ died for our sins. And he doesn't just say that and say, believe it because I'm telling you so, but he says, according to what? The Scriptures. Amen. We have the Word of God that we can go to and seek out. This is Paul's authority, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach us that Christ died for our sins. He took his sins in and upon his body. He became a sin sacrifice to God and offered himself to God. God was well pleased with that sacrifice. And now the wrath of God will not abide upon believers since there is a resurrection. But Paul's argument is, what if there is no resurrection? But it continues here. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if we don't believe the Scriptures, if we don't believe they're God-ordained or God-breathed, then we don't need to pay any attention to this at all. The Scriptures is what teaches us the truth, and it teaches us in this significant understanding that Christ died and was buried, but it doesn't leave it just there, and that he rose again the third day. That is, he resurrected. He was resurrected from the grave according to the Scriptures. So we have authority in the Word of God, authority by the Word of Jesus Christ, by God, the apostles, all of them, in all sense that have preached the Word. And he says they had witnesses there, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Falling asleep means that they have passed away or died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Paul is not taking any of this upon himself, but he says that by the grace of God, I am what I am, and that's all any of us as believers can say. By the grace of God, I am what I am, because he chose to set favor upon his people. In time, they come to saving faith, were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. The gospel makes clear who Jesus is. We place our trust and faith in him as we're drawn to him, and we find ourselves enjoying the blessings of being saved, all because of the resurrection. But Paul's argument here, what if there is no resurrection? That's what he wants to bring out. What if there is no resurrection? If Christ was not raised, his death was in vain, your faith in him would be pointless. It'd be a pointless activity, and your sins would still be counted against you with no hope of spiritual life if Jesus does not come forth from the grave. There is no hope for sins being remitted. Christ is the only hope. But if he's not, if there's no resurrection, then there is no hope. That's what he's, the argument that he's putting forth here. Second, if there is no resurrection, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. What is the implication of this? It means every Old Testament saint, every New Testament saint, and every saint since Paul wrote would be suffering in torment at this very moment. That would include Paul himself, the rest of the apostles, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Wesley, Moody, and the faithful and prayerful saints you've known, every other believer in every age also would be in hell. Their faith would have been in vain. Their sins would not have been forgiven, and their destiny would be nothing but damnation if Christ does not rise from the grave like he said he would. In light of the other consequences, the last is rather obvious. In this life only, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable. What does he mean by this? MacArthur says this is because of the sacrifices made in this life in light of the hope of life to come. If there is no life to come, we would be better to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If there's no hope in Christ, then this is all we have. Make the best out of it. Without Christ's resurrection and the salvation and blessings it brings, Christianity would be pointless and pitiful. Without the resurrection, we would have no Savior, no forgiveness, no gospel. Why preach the gospel if there's no resurrection? There's no hope in that. No gospel, no meaningful faith, no life, and we could never have hope for any of these things if Christ does not raise from the dead. To have hope in Christ alone in this life would be to teach, preach, suffer, sacrifice, and work entirely for nothing. If Christ is still dead, then he has no ability to save you in the future, but he can't help you now either. If he were not alive, where would your source of peace, joy, and satisfaction be right now? I could put in a lot of things, but you know what? It would run out. I'm satisfied with my wife, but that may run out after a while. Satisfied with a job that I'm retired from. I can't find satisfaction in that now. Satisfaction is a fleeting thing unless you can put it in something that has eternal life, and that's Christ Jesus, Amen. Our Lord. Amen. Without the resurrection, we would have no Savior, no forgiveness, no gospel, no meaningful faith, no life. And we could never have hope for any of these things. To have hope in Christ alone in this life would be to teach, preach, suffer, sacrifice, and work entirely for nothing. If Christ is still dead, then he not only has no ability to save you in the future, but he can't help you now. If he were not alive, where would be your source of peace, joy, or satisfaction now? The Christian life would be a mockery, a charade, a tragic and cruel joke. Christians who suffer and even die for the faith would be just as blind and pathetic as those, quote, believers who followed Jim Jones and the People's Temple, David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, and Marshall Applewhite and the Heaven Gate cult. No difference if Christ does not rise from the dead. Since a Christian has no Savior but Christ, no Redeemer but Christ, and no Lord but Christ, if Christ is not raised, if he is not alive, and our Christian life then would be lifeless. We would have nothing to justify our faith, our Bible study, our preaching or witnessing, our service to him or our worship of him, and nothing to justify our hope in this life or the next. We would deserve nothing but the compassion reserved for fools, because that's what we'd be, fools. To place our faith in someone that did not do what they said they'd do and has not risen from the grave. To place our faith in that kind of Christ would be useless. It's no better than a dead faith, because we placed it in someone who said they were alive, and if they haven't come forth from the grave, they weren't what they said they were. Amen. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
God did raise Christ from the dead. He tells us his word plainly, Romans, where we've been teaching from for so many months. Listen to what he said. God, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, because of our sins, and was raised because of our justification, because we needed to be justified. Christ was raised by Almighty God from the grave. Death has no hold upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he said, because of our justification, he says the resurrection provided proof that God had accepted the sacrifice of his Son and would be able to be just and yet justify the ungodly. Because of the resurrection, all these things are possible. Without the resurrection, none of them are possible. Salvation, eternal life, is impossible unless Christ comes forth from the grave. We rejoice in Christmas time when we observe the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the birth would mean nothing without the death, and not just the death, we can't stop at the death. Paul said he glories in the cross of Christ. I think he's looking past just the crucifixion part. He was embracing the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knew he would live again. He rejoiced in the cross that Jesus suffered to die on and bowed himself unto death and gave up the ghost. And he rejoiced in that cross because it meant that Christ suffered and died for our sins. And on the third day he came forth against all odds and against anything that anyone had ever imagined. Christ comes forth from the grave. Because Christ lives, we live also. We sang a hymn about that this morning. John 14:19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Do we believe Jesus or not? That's the question, isn't it? Do I embrace what he says he is? Do I believe it wholeheartedly? Am I confidently placing my faith in someone who said he'd do what he said he'd do? Yes, because Christ, we look into the scriptures and everything that we read confirms what Christ did is carrying out the plan of God, and he did it successfully. And he did it to the glory of God and to the satisfaction of God's wrath upon his people. That wrath is now removed. It's moved out of the way never to come back and haunt us anymore because Christ rose from the grave.
Amen. Praise God.
Luke says in Acts 5:30-31, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death, that's me and you if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior. God has exalted his son Jesus as a prince and a savior. What does that mean to us? To grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and if he grants it to Israel, as we've been studying in Romans, the Gentiles were grafted in, so he granted it to us also. The forgiveness of our sins. The things that would bind us to hell, death, and the grave has been pushed out of the way because of what Christ did. Wouldn't have been possible unless Christ rises from the dead. He must rise in order for that to be fulfilled. He must become that lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. God looking at that as a done thing, but he comes in time and he physically must raise from the grave that our sins would no longer be visited upon us. Do we believe he did it? The Word of God says he did. I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, Christ came forth from the grave. Many don't believe that. Many believe that's an impossible, that's a pipe dream. And if they continue that, they'll go to hell believing that very thing. We are not to be pitied. For Paul immediately ends the dreadful what if section by saying, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. We have the authority of the Word of God that tells us assuredly, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep or those that have died and gone before. And then as Paul said at the end of his life, as he's reflecting back, as he's teaching the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul makes this declaration, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Paul said, I'm not just believing this some belief or this faith without any substance. I have substance to my belief because that belief has persuaded me that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and Christ will see me safely home. My commitment in faith to him, believing that against that day. Those who do not hope in Christ alone for salvation are the real fools, the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are the ones who need to hear your compassionate testimony about the triumph of Christ's resurrection. So don't forget the resurrection. Rejoice in it and glory in it. For as the Bible says, he is risen indeed.
Amen.
Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I would ask you the question, do you believe this? Is this your testimony? Do you believe in Christ as risen Lord and Savior of your life or not? That's the question, isn't it? That's the question that we all have to answer. Are we believers? Do we believe what Christ said he would do and who he said he is? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The life, not a life. We can't choose a life. We must choose the life. And the life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he simply says, do you believe this? And I'll leave that with you. Do you believe that? And I'll leave you the words of Paul that Brother Lamar read to us this morning. In the final part of this letter to the Corinthian church, he said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. He unravels that mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Having said that, the Apostle Paul leaves the Corinthian church and those that would hear the word this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God bless us to continue serving the Lord of glory, who indeed is risen. And we can declare that by the gospel message, by the word of God this morning to you. May God add his blessings in my prayer for Christ's sake.